For the excellence, your strength, Yahweh, is mighty. As we gather here in the tabernacle to assemble ourselves, the presence of our precious Abba, we bow down to bless you and to thank you for this magnificent and wonderful day you have granted us with. As we gather here on this midweek fellowship for Torah revelation and truth, the teaching, the profound utterance from the kingdom of our Abba, we bless you this evening and we thank you with a heart that is exceedingly thankful for all that you have done, as you have carefully watched over us all. You have enabled us with physical strength. You have given us the power of your Ruah to enable us to press and to enter into the presence of our great King, to worship, to magnify, and to bless you. You have given us the lively hope and the understanding of the mighty manifestation of Yahshua HaMashiach, the strength, the honor, the magnificent excellence of Yahweh, the power of His Torah, His truth, expressed in the form of a fleshly man, yet in the power that was the redemption of the house of Israel. For we believe that the profoundness of that witness is true. So as we gather here tonight with accolades of worship and thanksgivings unto you to bless you for all things, we will exalt you and esteem you highly. We will lift you up and exonerate that name that has been ostracized and spoken against evilly. We will bless that name. We will magnify that name. We shall esteem that wonderful name, Yahweh, our great Creator. And so as we bow here tonight with those that are gathered with us, whoever it is in their homes, we pray for your mighty strength and shalom to rest upon them mightily. Your healing power, your healing touch here among us in the tabernacle here. And those that are meeting in their secret closets, those places whereby they can surely hear the voice of Yahweh and one speaking as with the oracles of our precious Abba. That is that Yahweh has ordained and spoken clearly and precisely through that vessel, that the seed of Yisrael may know without a shadow of a doubt. We pray for those that are feeble today and sickly and weak. We do pray for the poor, those that need your way, those that are in great needs, those that are afflicted, those that need bread. As we hear from those that are in great agony of affliction, great pains your way, that need a morsel of bread, some water to drink. The circumstance is so bleak. The hardship, the devastation, the agony, the pressing on the mind, the body, the ruah, the daily battle of contention for a piece of bread when many are seeking for the same thing. the conflicts of battles. Because one sees the bread and desires, and the conflicts, the opposition, the fighting breaks out, and no one truly gets the bread or the cup of water. The nature of this vile government of darkness that defies the Torah of Yahweh have reduced men down to a beastly conscience, whereby he roams the field as a roaring wild lion, looking for a sniblet of bread or something to fill his bowels. We pray for them as we hear from them. Especially, I pray for her, Yahweh. The young sister there that's trying, simply needs a piece of bread. They're in Ghana, the refugee camp with 45,000 people. No toilet facilities, latrines. No water to drink. And she must labor continuously every day for a piece of bread to feed herself and her son, and those that have leased onto her because they see some opportunity for a piece of bread. In the midst of her grueling and afflicted life, raped when she was 16, a child that she doesn't even know the daddy. To see her mother and father beheaded and butchered. And there are many that fit that criteria, Yahweh. And the burden is too much for me to bear. I cannot, Yahweh. But my heart, with great sympathy and with great agony, to get some glimpse of that tremendous battle, we pray for Sister Betty. I lift her up tonight. Some bread for the bowl, some cassava leaf, Yahweh. A little water for her son, for the other ones that she's caring for. And help us, I say that collectively, as I look for a way to assist and to help her, Yahweh. We cannot help them all. I understand that. But there are those that you will put in the heart of your people to help. To make sure there's a piece of bread, some food in their bellies. You've given us so much here sumptuously. We dine today and abundance, more than enough. I thank you, Yahweh, for every piece of bread, for every piece of meat, for every glass of water, for every meal. I thank you. I rejoice. I bless you for the abundance that you have overly supplied for us. Help us all, I pray, the listeners tonight. Bless them all in the hope of Yahshua the Lamb. Give them great strength and open their ears to hear, to perceive and understand what Yahweh speaks to the house of Israel, that they may know without a shadow of a doubt that our Abba lives and He is sovereign over all the earth. We ask it all in HaMashiach's mighty name. We pray for the shalom of Jerusalem and your people there. We bless you and we thank you. We esteem you, we exalt you. In all of the Kedushin, cried hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, lift your hands and worship Him.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
As we consider this precious song, Yahweh, my heart thinks and considers that we have many brothers and sisters, but the difficulties of life is so harsh and complex that a man must labor his entire life just for a morsel of bread. When the sparrows, they sow not, yet our heavenly Abba feeds them. From the Shemayim, on the corruption of this world today, the greed for money that causes those and them to reduce a man to less than a beast of the field. You never made it that way, Yahweh. Nor did you plan things in your creation this way. It is the rejection of man, the rebellious witchcraft spirits. When one rebels against your Torah, one walks in the spirit of a witch, the witchcraft power. Because that one is bewitched where they cannot obey Torah. The rulers of the earth are that way. Those suppress the hirelings with a false wage. And they rob from them, and there's a sore evil. So I pray, Yahweh, there's nothing that I need. There's nothing that this house needs in the sense of any physical thing. We need your truth above all things. But there are brothers and sisters that need bread. So we pray for them. We ask you to supply abundantly. In the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach, we thank you and we bless you. In all of his creation, cry hallelujah away. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Look to your neighbor and say to them, bless you, my friend. Yahweh, bless you. You may be seated. You know, he's wonderful and he is kind to the house of Israel. I want to say this before I proceed in this message on this evening. I tend to get in touch with Brother Nathan there because he takes the messages and he feeds them into a room whereby quite a few people will go in and listen to the broadcast. And so in the midst of that, you have people that in countries that are poor countries like Liberia and Ghana and Guyana, Singapore, different places in the world. And what many of the merchants will do, they will buy the old PCs that people throw away and discard. And they tend to take them to countries like that. And they will have what they call cafes, where you will pay a certain amount to utilize the system to try to make contact with someone that will supply a morsel of bread for you. And there's a young sister there in Liberia. Now you must understand that nation. The reason that it was established, it was for the free slaves that desired to go back to Africa. And so many people left the United States and other parts of the world, and they went back to Liberia. It is an English-speaking nation. It has been a chaotic mess since then. You have the tribal warfares. And the distinction between tribes and people, it is not based upon some kind of language that they speak. It is based upon a physical, or the physical attributes that separate certain tribes. The complex or the color of skin, those that are the fair-skinned people in Liberia, they actually run the nation. And they oppress those that are of the darker skin. And I don't know if you all know about Charles Taylor, or Doe before him, and before Doe there was another Taylor. These were the presidents of that country. And they literally pillaged and robbed, utilized the resources for their own wealth and their own goods. At one time, it was a great nation of wealth. One of the nations that the educational system there was comparative to South Africa and other nations, smaller nations. And so when the corruption began to arise and men sought power, they began to establish their tribal clans. And in the midst of their tribal clans, they began to butcher and kill one another for the superiority of dominancy, to control the commerce and the market. And in doing that, there were millions of people that were dislodged. They have no homes. They have nowhere to stay. The land has become depleted of its natural ores and nutrition that will sustain any kind of productive lives. And so what you have on the borders of countries like that, you have these huge refugee camps where people live. And they wait on the mercies of the United Nations and different charitable organizations to supply them with the simple necessities of life. Breads, and it's basically a protein biscuit, maybe some water, a little something to eat. And there are tens of thousands of them in camps throughout the whole continent of Africa. And they languish in utter poverty. I mean, not even a change of clothing. They cannot bathe. There is no food to be had. There is nothing. And so much of the world today is becoming very weary with even assisting them through droughts and corrupt governments that have robbed and stole from the countries. You find the vast population in those nations that they live in utter, not just poverty, but abject poverty. And that is below what poverty is. They have nothing. And it is a tremendous task daily. It is an arduous labor daily to labor for bread. And it is enough to have bread. And you have the rival clans that butcher and kill. And they rape the young women by the thousands. Many of the young men are induced with some form of drugs that they induce in their bodies that they have no conscience or thought as to what they do. And I'm saying this that we may grasp the intensity of life of those that we never consider or think about at all. Now I'm using this analogy because a piece of bread to them, it refreshes them, it renews them, it brings life to them. It gives strength, it brings a refreshness to their lives. It caused their countenance to illuminate with a gladness. Their heart is filled with a spirit of thanksgiving, and they're very thankful for that. And so we have a mass of people that live in many nations throughout the world, but particularly that nation, where there is very little finance and cash that goes into the refugee camps to assist and to help. I'm laying this out to say this because when I try to contact Brother Nathan, there's a young woman that she contacts me. Brother Allen and I were there yesterday, and as she described things, and I can tell whether it is something that is false or real. I said to her, you know, people do not trust messages that come from your country, because there are many that try to deceive and rob people from this nation. And her words were simply this, but not all are like that, Pastor Roberts. There are some of us that truly need a little bread, something to eat. And I ask her questions because I've asked her these same questions before, but in a different format to see how she will respond. And her answers have always been the same, maybe not the same wording. And as we sat there, as Brother Allen was reading what she was trying to speak to me, and as I corresponded with her, I've talked to Sister Roberts about her. And I understand the conditions, because I tend to read on things like that. I understand the conditions of those camps. That the women, that lice is in their heads, because there is no way they can wash their hair. And this lice, these white bugs that crawl in their head continuously and began to get down into the root of their scalp and cause their hair to come out, and their bodies are filled with these little bugs because they have nowhere to sleep, nowhere to lay their heads. I said to her, what about the restroom facilities and baths? How are you accommodated in that? She said, we cannot bathe. And you relieve yourselves wherever you can find it. I said to her, is your name on some registry in the refugee camp? Because I use these kinds of probing questions, and I can tell from that answer whether an answer 4 or 5 questions before was truly answered accurately or correctly with honesty. And her response to me was, Pastor Roberts, there are so many of us, and they come, so there is no way that they can register the names of all the people. I said, you type well. She said, I have a 9th grade education. She was raised by some orphans or in an orphan setting. And so they assisted us and they helped. I said to her, how are you getting time on a computer to correspond with me? And she says to me, there's a Guyana, and they do things like that. I have gone to the Salvation Army, and I've watched the men from Africa. They will buy every shoe, every computer, everything. And there are those that do that, because they will take something that costs $5 here and send it back to that nation, and they will get $50 for it. It's a great profit. She says, there's a man here in Guyana, and he allows us until we can find some means to help us, that we utilize this avenue to contact those in America or in Europe or in Asia to help us with a morsel of bread, to refresh us, to help us to refresh ourselves. I'm saying that to say this. If one is diligently in the effort of being refreshed and can be refreshed by a morsel of bread, a simple cool drink of water, then what does it take for Yahweh to refresh us, that we will become animated with a heart that is exceedingly thankful, and that we're very glad unto Yahweh for all that He has blessed us with, to cause our bowels to be full there must be a refreshing of the people of Yahweh, and the only way that it is going to come, it must come by how Scripture tells us. That is the only way. And we need to be refreshed. There needs to be a new invigoration. There has to be the life and the power of His zest that cause our expression of our countenance to delight greatly in whatever the trial or the situation is. Can you imagine? As I was speaking to Deacon Benny, I said, I will at first see if I can get at least $25. It doesn't sound like much in our monies, but in her monies, it will buy some cassava leaves or a little meal to make some bread and have a meal for that day, or maybe to buy a gallon of water to have something to drink. And I will go that path to see if that will cause a refreshness or a delight, a renewal, an animation of gladness to flow from our heart with exceeding excitement. It is one thing that Yahweh has given us, and that is why we are going to be judged severely. He has given us an abundance, and yet the heart of man doesn't rejoice in that. And yet if she receives a morsel of bread for her child, and for those that rely upon her heavily for a piece of bread, she said, there are days that I go without meals. There is nothing to eat. There is nothing to buy. Because there is no monies to purchase those things. And yet when she hears, and when I answer, I will say this honestly. There are times she writes me, I will not answer her. Because my heart is very captivated by it. It is very heavy. And I know that we cannot assist everyone, 45,000 people, in one camp. We cannot do it, and I understand that. But if we know that our brother or sister is in a grave need, and we shut up our bowels of compassion, then how dwells the love, the ahava of Yahweh in you at all? How can you say that you truly love Yahweh? When one truly loves Yahweh, that one is refreshed because that one knows that he or she is doing what Yahweh commands. And in His presence, we take a great delight and we are refreshed daily from what He speaks unto us and His guidance unto us. That we are animated with great delight and great rejoicing because we know that we are in the will of Yahweh. And our heart is filled with the glad tidings of Yahweh because we know that in His presence is sufficient. There's an account in Scripture where Kephar has a great healing him and Yochanan healed one that was of great deformity. And there were those that began to question that and began to speak out of their own thoughts. They were not speaking by the direction of Yahweh. And that is how the natural mind speaks. We never consider as a people those that we call less fortunate than us. We are very selfish people. We are consumed with our own desires and our own lusts. That is not the way Yahweh wants it to be. And so when they saw this great thing transpire with Kephar, this is what he said unto them. First of all, you don't know the presence of Yahweh. You don't understand that Yahweh is in the midst of this. And the works that I do, they are not by some excellence of Kephar. It is by the power of Yahweh. And what he is trying to do is to cause your heart to rejoice and delight and what Yahweh is doing. And by the same token, when we see someone in that condition, it ought to cause us to examine our heart. It ought to cause us to examine us and see whether we are truly in the Emunah of Yahweh. Look at what he says. I want to establish this here. He says in Ash-Shalishiyam, in the book of Acts, chapter 3 and verse 19. And Kephas says, he says unto those, he says, repent you therefore, and be converted. Now understand the definition of that in our terminology. To be converted, to be changed. But that is not what Kephas was implying here. He said, I want you to be converted, that you come before the presence of Yahweh with true worship, with a heart that delights in worshiping Almighty Yahweh, and there is a great desire and a love for the obedience unto Yahweh, that you obey Him, that you do what He instructs you to do. He says that your sins may be blotted out, that there will be no charge against you at all. Your sins are cleansed. When the times of, not just simply a singular time, but when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of Almighty Yahweh. Now this generation that we are in, if there is going to be any refreshing, it's going to come from the presence of Almighty Yahweh. And we must get in the presence of Yahweh. That is why it is a generation that has no animation of rejoicing and true converting unto Yahweh. When one is truly converted, it is one that worships Him. It is one that delights in Yahweh. And there is a refreshing and an animation of excitement and delight before Almighty Yahweh. Because one knows who feeds them, who takes care of them, who watches over them, who supplies every need. I draw the parallel with our young sister Betty there in Liberia. That if she can get a morsel of bread, it brings about a great refreshing to her life. A gallon of water caused the heart to be filled with great animation and with great shouts of victory and dancing in the presence of Yahweh. So if there is to be any refreshing or any quickening or any life-bearing substance in you, you're going to have to get in the presence of Yahweh. And the way you get into His presence, you're going to have to begin to cleanse yourself. You're going to have to abandon the ways of the flesh and the ways that corrupt our minds so that we do not take delight in the instructions of the truth of Almighty Yahweh. You will not get into the presence of Yahweh walking in your carnal anatomy. You will never experience the refreshings of Almighty Yahweh. You will never do that trying to figure things on your own behalf or do it according to your own intellectual power. You will never be refreshed. And when one is refreshed, there is a profound animation. There is life in that one. There is a renewing of that one's ruah. And when our ruah is not renewed, it is because we have not dwelled in the presence of Yahweh, and we are not refreshed. And in this time, in this day, there must be times of refreshing. The ruah must be refreshed. The mind, the heart, the lev must be refreshed. Why? Because there is an assortment of problems and difficulties that we deal with. Why? Because we have allowed the law of the flesh to overtake the Torah of Yahweh. And everything is based upon our affection and our natural propensity or our desire according to the flesh, and is not based upon what Scripture tells us. We need to get in the presence of Yahweh. And you began by becoming converted. And when one is converted, there is a sign of that conversion. It is one that worships Yahweh. It is one that is obedient unto the truths of Almighty Yahweh. And if you are not obedient unto the truth, you're not converted. You have not changed. It began with a repentance, and that is to acknowledge one's sins, to acknowledge one's downfalls, to acknowledge one's corrupt ways, to acknowledge one's transgressing of Yahweh's Torah. And once one acknowledges that one, that's the process of being converted. And when we see what Yahweh has done, it caused the heart to begin to rejoice. It caused a liveliness to fill the heart. And the reason there is no liveliness among Yahweh's people, there is no great invigoration of delight of renewing of the mind of the Ruach, is because there is very little repentance. And there is no converting at all, because the worship of the heart is not true. It is a formality. It is simply a practice or tradition, but it's not based upon a pure love for Yahweh. And so become so ritualistic and so traditional that we become bored with doing that, because there is no life in it at all. And if there was life in it, a refreshness in it, we will know we're in the presence of Almighty Yahweh. And because we're not in His presence, why? Because we have omitted the beginning of the issue, and that is to repent. We have denied the converting of causing our heart and our minds to be converted, whereby we're in tune with Yahweh to worship Him, to be obedient unto His Torah and every command that He commands us. That is not the mindset today. And so we are a lifeless people. There's no life in us. There is no animation. There is no invigoration. And the word of Yahweh ought to invigorate us. It ought to invigorate us. If I say to that sister that I will send you $25, there will be an invigoration. She will rejoice. She will be refreshed. And I guarantee you, she will leave that place dancing with a great rejoicing. It is a form of thanksgivings. And that is what worship consists of. It consists of a delighted heart that is thankful unto Yahweh for what He has done. And the more you think on it, the more it refreshes you. The more it invigorates you and causes life to inhabit your body. It quickens one from the dead state. When one is refreshed, they are quickened from the dead state of mind and the dead state of life that flows in the flesh. There is no life in the flesh without the invigoration or the refreshing of Almighty Yahweh. And that is why many times we look dead, we act dead, we feel dead, don't we? No energy, we're not energized, are we? You're not energized to worship Yahweh. When one is converted, there's an energy, there's a level. When one is refreshed, there's an energy there, isn't it? Have you ever been refreshed, or if you're hot and all of a sudden you step into a nice air-conditioned place, it refreshes you, doesn't it? It's nothing like that your body is filled with sweat and you have worked and labored that day, and all of a sudden, during a hot day, you step in this nice shower that tingles your flesh. It touches every part of your body and it refreshes you. Does it invigorate you? Does it bring life into you? That is what the presence of Yahweh does. But we get in the presence of Yahweh, then there's a refreshing. And in the trials that we are going to, inhabit, we must get and learn how to get in the presence of Yahweh. You are not going to be refreshed without getting in the presence of Yahweh. We must get in Yahweh's presence to be invigorated, to have the animation, and that's what worship is. It is an animation. It is a life-filling type of a ritual, if I must use that expression. That's what it produces. And that is what the converting, when one is converted, it produces that form of life in one. It causes the heart to rejoice greatly. We're in the times whereby we must learn to get in the presence of Yahweh. But it begins with the acknowledging of your corrupt ways, your sinful activities, your defiance of Torah, your corrupt speaking, your rebellious ways, which induce certainly the spirit of witchcraft, your foul and sadistic and evil ways. When the times of refreshing shall come in the presence of Almighty Yahweh. It's not going to come from any other thing or any other source. And this generation is trying to find a refreshing in other sources, but it's not going to come. Even the healing power of Kepha in Yokohana did not cause the people to worship Yahweh. He says, I want to tell you something. Repent. You better acknowledge your transgressions and your vile, sadistic, and evil ways. You better acknowledge that. You better acknowledge that you are corrupt and your ways are corrupt. Your ideas, your thoughts, they defile your whole mind set. You better acknowledge that. Once you acknowledge that and understand that Yahweh, only He can forgive you and cleanse you, you better be converted. And in that converting, we'll find ourselves in the presence of Yahweh, because in His presence is the only place whereby we're going to find that refreshing of Yahweh, that our minds are restored, that we have the breath of life in us. That refreshness brings breath into you. It brings what you would say the second wind. It causes the life to fill your lungs and to fill your mind. It causes the word of Yahweh to bring a great strength of life in what? It is a form of strength what refreshing is. When what is refreshed, there's a strength that comes forth out of them. And this is a generation that is not refreshed. In the inward man, we are refreshed by things that really have no significant value in life at all. No whatsoever. So they have no bearings on our spiritual growth. And that is why we are a generation of dead people. We're dead. We're trespasses in iniquity and sins. Because we transgress the Torah. We defy the word of Yahweh. We make every kind of provision for the flesh. But we make no provision for our being or the entire man. We only concern with one aspect. And this thing begins in the inward parts. It doesn't begin in the external. It begins in the inward parts. The enemy knows that there are things that your physical perception of things will cause you to have a great rejoicing. But it's momentarily. It is pseudo. It's not real. It doesn't last that long. But in the presence of Yahweh, there's a great refreshing. We are refreshed continuously in those times when we are in the presence of Yahweh. But my trials, tell me your trials compared to that young daughter in Liberia. Can you compare them? Well, my situation is difficult. What is that? Is that difficult? Is that a great affliction? Many will curse Yahweh and reject Him. And they will try to look for some remedy to soothe their flesh. Yet somewhere in that young daughter's heart, there is some measure of faith that she believes. That Yahweh will open the doors and the windows. And what a blessing of what Kassah believes in. Some bread, some water. She has no certain dwelling place. She has nowhere to live. They don't live like us. They don't have homes and beds to sleep in. They have nothing. They do not have a pitcher of water or ice that they can utilize to soothe their dry throat. They don't have that. But we are people, because there is not much life in us, we never think in those terms. Those things do not cause our heart or our minds or our consciousness to be aware of that. We don't even think on that level. This is a very selfish generation, and the people is selfish. It's a lustful generation. It is a generation that has no compassion, no concern for no one. It doesn't love Yahweh. It has no compassion for Yahweh. And it certainly will not care for someone like that. As I began to talk to Brother Patrick concerning the young daughter and how his heart, I could sense that from our conversation, his verbiage, his words. Because this is a very complex and very trying situation. To have a piece of bread, and that causes one to be refreshed. Well, Yahweh has given us an abundance of bread. He gives us truth proclaimed, truth ministered to you. It doesn't cause the refreshness of Yahweh to fill your presence or your consciousness. He has given us the living bread of life. You see, they ate the bread that came down from the Shemaim and they died. But the bread that he gives unto us, as Kephas said unto the gathering there on Pentecost, it is a bread that if one eats that bread, they will never die. And if one understands the importance of that bread and the beauty of that bread, it ought to cause a great refreshing. They ought to be refreshed. But because we do not have the emuna or the love for Yahweh's truth, for his Torah, we hear things, but they do not delight our heart. We are consumed in carnality and false, fictitious things. And they are only temporary. We like things that excite our flesh. We don't want anything that gives us enlightenment in our ruah, that we walk in the refreshness and the delight of Yahweh. You know, it's one thing that has given us the Shabbat to give us some form of understanding of that refreshing. I want to read this quickly. It says in Shemoth, Exodus 31:12. And Yahweh spoke unto Moshe, saying, he says, speak you also to the children of Israel, saying, truly, my Shabbat you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh and that does set you apart. I am the one that set you apart, sanctify you, set you apart from the practices and the way of the world. Look at this now. Shemoth, Exodus 31:14. He says, you shall keep the Shabbat thereof, therefore, for it is Kodash for you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doth any work on it, that being shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 15. He expressed unto us 6 days you may work, or 6 days may work be done. But in the seventh day, the Shabbat of Yahweh, it is the Shabbat of rest. Shabbaton. It is a day of rest. Listen, it's a day of refreshing. It's a day of delighting. It is a day of renewing. It is a day and a time of restoring. Hear this now. I want to show you something. It's a day of rest, Shabbaton. Because it is Kodash unto Yahweh. Whosoever does work on the Shabbat day, he shall surely be put to death. There shall be a death. They are dead and in trespasses, sins. They trespass the Torah. They defy the Torah. So this is a generation that is full of death. The Shabbat is a time of restoring and refreshing. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, to observe the Shabbat throughout their generation for a perpetual covenant. Not something that is simply for them, but it is something that is perpetual. It is continuous. It never ends. It has an enduring effect. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made, listen now, the Shemaim and the earth. And on the seventh day he Shabbaton, and he was what? Yahweh was refreshed. You tell me the mighty one of Israel, that his presence even bring refreshing to him. And on the Shabbat, there was a Shabbaton, a day of rest, and Yahweh was refreshed. Now, why is it that we as a people, on the Shabbat of Yahweh, we're not refreshed? Our countenance, it stays continuously the same. There is no refresh, invigorated life that pulsates out of us. None whatsoever. Yahweh saw the magnificence of what all he had done. Well, how do we understand the magnificence of Yahweh? Well, we must get in His presence. And once we get in the presence of Yahweh, in the presence of Yahweh there is fullness of joy. And in His right hand, there is pleasure forevermore. And because we do not have the fullness of joy, because we're not in His presence. Now we find ourselves in the presence of hypocrisy and backbiting and being a busybody and a liar and showing discord and being nosy. We find ourselves in that position, don't we? We find ourselves in positions of talking about things that are immaterial, have no value to our spiritual enlightenment. But yet Yahweh says, in my presence there's a fullness, there's a refreshing of His joy. And there are pleasures that are supplied to one's heart. When you get something that is pleasurable to you, does it cause you to rejoice? Come on, you wives, if your husband brought you half a dozen of roses, you tell me that would not, some of you only may not now, that should cause you to rejoice. It should bring a delight, right? If he does something that is very nice and kind and sweet, it should cause you. Same thing with the wife to the husband. She does something that is very pleasant and sweet and nice. It causes your heart to rejoice. It fills you with a great delight, doesn't it? There are times you are in one another's presence. You tell me it doesn't cause delight and laughter? You see, that's what Yahweh says. When you truly learn how to get in His presence, you will experience that. And the reason we don't experience that, because our minds are not converted. We have not been transformed. Our minds have not been renewed. Be ye transformed by what? Through renewing. Your mind must be renewed. There must be a new mind, a new desire, a new heart. You cannot continue to walk in the same mindset and with the same corrupt desire that you had yesterday. And Yahweh, even on the Shabbat, He refreshed Himself afterwards when He saw all that He had done was finished, and He was refreshed. He was refreshed. It refreshed Him. There was an animation of life. He was renewed. He was invigorated. And the world has shaped the minds of the people so today. There is no renewing. There is no invigoration. There is no life in them. They are not quickened. There is no expression of great joy and great delight. Because the world has pressed you down with the power of the spirits that rule and governs in this spirit, it presses you down, it brings you down, it weighs you down, and there is nothing you can even get from under the weight. You cannot get from under the burden of it, and that burden pressing you down, you don't even know how to get in the presence of Yahweh. You don't even know how to repent. This is a generation that doesn't know how to repent. One can never say that they know their sins, but one can acknowledge the sins of others, can't they? One will always speak of what someone else is doing, but never what I am doing. See, even the speech and what one is speaking of ought to show them what they are doing. And show them the issue is not the one that they speak on, but the issue is the thing that is in them. Because if one had the true light in life of HaMashiach, if one sees the mote or the small infraction, the one that is can see clearly how to get the little small thing out of his brother's sister's eye if he first of all removed that thing that obscures his vision, that huge thing, and that thing is me. What I think of me, how I esteem me, what I think highly of, and we think highly of me, myself, and I. That's why Yahweh constantly speaks against us. He shows us our infractions. We need to become refreshed and invigorated before Yahweh. And you're not going to become invigorated and refreshed walking in the carnal aspiration and trying to appease things according to the flesh. You will never become invigorated because you will never be satisfied. Your heart can never
this thing in man, unless that stony thing is taken out, it can never be satisfied, because it is not a very sensitive thing. It is not sensitive to anyone or to anything, but that which pertains unto me. You don't have to look at your neighbor. That's you. That's the way you are. That's your mindset. You always so love the world that he said, HaMashiach, that draw us, those that were his, close to him, that we may understand his purpose, that we may understand the will of our Abba. And as we understand what he has done, it will cause one's heart to become refreshed and invigorated. We just don't know him. That's why we're not invigorated people. When a child knows, I was sitting there today, and so when Brother Dale came in, you could hear the youngins cry, Daddy, 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 Daddy. There was an invigoration, there was a refreshing. You see, Daddy brought about a refreshing. Daddy, 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 Daddy. We don't pay attention to many things. That's why we don't learn very much. But you could sense that youngin, whichever one was, I think it was the one you're holding, but you could hear just Daddy, 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 Daddy. Because there was a refreshing in that child. I guarantee she smiled. I didn't see her. But I guarantee you, even when she said Daddy, that was a different expression upon her face. That was an invigoration. She was renewed. Her environment changed. Her whole circumstance changed. And that was renewing in her invigoration. And she said it more than once, twice, more than three times. And each time, there was emphasis on who she was approaching. Because we don't know that. We're never in the presence of our Abba. And so in the presence of Avant, it brought about a refreshing. It brought about an invigoration, a life. It causes her little heart to produce the essence or to show that Daddy what life was in her. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. We are people, we hear everything, but we hear nothing. We can hear all kind of foolishness. I was sitting one day and I said, you take that square. I look at the squares in the dining hall. And I look at one square and I say, how many squares can you get out of that square? What can you do with that square? How many shapes will that square take upon? What is the dimension of that square? How many different dimensions are just in that one little square? And so when I hear things like that, when I hear words like that, and I see the response, everything, we know, we that are the people of Yahweh, all things work for good. When you hear things, there is something that is good, that even though it may be corrupt. Why? Because we are pure. If we are pure to the pure, all things are pure. When our minds are corrupt and defiled, there is nothing pure. That's why many times we can't see anything pure right in one another. That's why we don't see nothing like that. But you always see good things in you, don't you? Tall things in you. What a wickedness. What a corruption. So in the presence of that avat, there was a fullness of joy. Why? Because she knew that Daddy extends his hands to her. There's safety. There's value in those hands. There's comfort. There's a hava. There's security. There's life. Confidence. And with that, there's a bosom there. When she's brought to the bosom, that causes her to become even more animated. There's security and comfort that she will rest her head in his bosom. You'll watch it when he's dancing back there. I see that. She'll go to Daddy. And she lays her head in Daddy's bosom. Why? Because there's an invigoration of life there. And we can ever learn how to lay our heads in the bosom of Yahweh. And to sense that beat of his heart. We will be greatly refreshed. Because we can't hear the beat of his heart because we're too busy hearing everything else. We're too busy hearing the issue of our own heart. That's why we can't hear the issue of Yahweh's heart. We can hear the beat of Yahweh's heart. We can hear his heart. We can hear the beat of it. And that's why we're not refreshed, because we're not in his presence. You find yourself in the presence of gossip, though, don't you? And foolishness. Does it take much to find yourself there? It begins with a true heart of repentance. And when that heart is truly sorrowful, that there's a conversion there. There's a pure worship. There's a pure desire to obey Yahweh and to truly worship him. Yahweh refreshed himself when he saw the excellence of his own hands. And when we began to understand the excellence of Yahweh, we will become invigorated with vitality. We will be quickened. When the Ruach speaks to us, it will bring life in us. That is what the power of refreshing does. It brings life. And you that never seems to be refreshed about anything, you need to get converted. That's why you cannot be refreshed. You must be converted. You must repent. You brothers and sisters sit here continuously and there is no converting. There is no refreshing in you. Something is drastically wrong with you. The Ruah of Yahweh HaMashiach said, I cannot leave you comfortless. I will pray to the Abba and He will send you a refresher. That is what is going to refresh life in man. Those that have died in the Emunah, they're going to be refreshed, or they will be quickened by the Ruah of Yahweh. And if one truly has the Ruah of Yahweh in them, or she or he, they are refreshed continuously. We are people that's not refreshed that often, because we do not delight in the things of Yahweh. And Yahweh, He Shabbaton and was refreshed. And this is what He gave unto Moshe in the verse 18. And He gave to Moshe when he had made an end of the communing with Him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of Yahweh. Now that's how he must write his Torah, his living testimony in these old stony hearts. The heart is stony. That's why we need a heart, a level flesh. We do. The heart is stony. The mind is stony. And it's stony because we see it in that what it produces. When there's a lively invigoration, it produces a lively expression. When one is lively, it produces that. When one is dead and unalive, it produces that. You've looked at the dead corpse, right? There's no expression. There's no delight. Is that so? So it is with Yahweh. Those that are dead and trespass and sins, and they have sins that they have not repented of, they have not converted. That's why there's no liberty in them. None whatsoever. And that's why there is no animation. That's why they are not renewed. That's why when they hear the words of the saving power of Yahweh, it doesn't renew them. It doesn't reinvigorate them. They are not set at liberty. And HaMashiach came to set at liberty those that are captive. And we are captive. You are bound by your own sins, your own iniquities, your iniquitous ways. Those are the things that have brought you under captivity. And there is no expression of Yahweh's refreshness in you. We're not in His presence. We're not in the presence of Yahweh. In His presence, there is a profound refreshing for His people. We better get there. Because the times that are ahead, and we're in the times that are so demonic and so seductive that we are such an ignorant people, we do not discern anything at all. Why? Because our practices are ones based upon wickedness. You practice what your mind and your thoughts, your imaginations spring up in your thinking process. So you practice those things. We do not practice what Torah teaches us by the living will and the purpose of HaMashiach in us. And if Yahshua dwells in us, then we live by the power of the life of the Torah. And those things are not grievous to do, grievous to practice. Why? Because they are just first nature, not second nature. They're first nature. That's first nature. We just do them because if we don't do them, we seem very uncomfortable. We seem out of kilter. And because we are so corrupt, we don't seem out of kilter. When you do things that are, you know, wrong, it doesn't trouble you. It doesn't move you. You're not going to dwell in the presence of Yahweh. I don't care who you are. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Not one bit at all. Now there was a man, you know the story, Shaul, how that scripture said because he disobeyed Yahweh, that Yahweh sent an evil spirit unto him. Now we think that this doesn't
apply to us. It is applicable to us. Is all Scripture given for our inspiration? Is all Scripture given for an example for our learning of what they did aforetime that we should not do? Now look what Scripture says. I want to read this quickly and you shall move. Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:23. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from Yahweh was upon Shaul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, so was Shaul refreshed. 1 Samuel 16:23. He was refreshed. He was refreshed. It says, so was he refreshed and was well. And was well. That's why Yahweh tells us to sing to ourselves psalms and melodies. Some of you all don't even know what that is. You're so staunch and corrupt in your practices that you will not move according to the word of Yahweh. But when he heard those beautiful sounds, he was refreshed. His ruah was refreshed. And the scripture said he was well too. When we hear the pleasantry of the word of Yahweh, well, reproof is not pleasant. It may seem untasteful going down. But when you eat it, it's a sweet thing in your belly. It will bring life to your ruah, to your being. And yet when David began to play on the harp and the beautiful melodies of Yahweh, because he was anointed, he was set apart for Yahweh, it says that Shaul was, he was refreshed, he was invigorated. Life came in him. He was invigorated. And even at those times, if you will notice in Scripture, he was always willing to do what was right. He was willing to repent and do right and stop pursuing David. And yet, when that evil thing, because he defied Yahweh, and when you defy Yahweh, you open yourself up unto every evil thing there is. When you know to do right, and you don't do that, then you sin willfully against Yahweh. You do it willfully. When you know it's right to do it, you don't do it. That's a willful practice. You're practicing sin. You're practicing transgression. And you always said that evil thing unto Shaul to trouble him. Yet because he had one there that had a truth in him, it caused him to be refreshed. Now that is what the word of Yahweh ought to do for you, to cause you to be refreshed. Cause you to become invigorated and animated. When you hear what Yahweh says, it causes your heart to truly worship him, to submit, to love him, to bow down and to bless him, to express your love toward him. Well, how do I do that? Obeying him, be it faithful in all obedience unto Yahweh. So even in the midst of that, it says that Shaul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So when you're refreshed, that evil thing that has dominated your mind will depart. Have you walked on the course of the day? You all have. And you have maintained this thing in your heart, in your mind, very evil, very sadistic, very controlling of you, your thoughts, your emotions. And you were offended by a thing and you took that out on everyone. That's wickedness. That's an evil thing. And when someone came to speak the word of Yahweh, you didn't want to hear that. You all know what I'm saying. Don't sit in the hypocrisy. All right? And so when someone comes to speak the word of Yahweh, that was the only way you're going to be refreshed, because it causes one to repent and to become converted. That's why HaMashiach tells us, he warns us, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, your anger, your indignation. Scripture warns us against that. Warns us. Don't do that. And so we deal with that situation in the immediate. Why? Because we take it before Yahweh. And once we do that, we bring it to the altar and we lay it there and we cast all of our burdens upon him. And we find that the weight or the heaviness of that thing is not as heavy as we thought it was. We find ourselves a little light, don't we? And once you find yourselves a little light, you can move a little better, can't you? Sure you can. You can't go out there and really move if your belly is full, can you? So if you're full of corruption and sin, how can you really move freely in the Ruah of Yahweh? So that's why we can't remove in the Ruah, because we're full of indignation and bitterness in our heart. Don't you know that bitter thing? That is what corrupts you. It's not what someone has done to you. It's your own bitterness, and that bitterness rise up and defiles everyone. Because you're bitter, you defile everyone that you're around.
He always says, come into my presence and you shall be refreshed. But it begins with your repentance. And lift up your heart and run to me and begin to worship me and begin to bless me. There are you that are never even compelled to do that.
It is sad. You're not going into the kingdom.
Each day I understand more and more. And there's a revelation of truth that enlightens me every day. Every day I understand things in a greater depth, greater understanding. The complex things become less complex. Because my mind is always thinking. And I don't think in the mind of David, because I don't see things in the shades of David, because David would shade things. I see things in the mind of HaMashiach. Why? Because if you are led by the Ruah of Yahweh, then you're sons. And the steps of that Tav, one that walked in the Tav news of HaMashiach, Yahweh ordered his steps. And I believe that. I believe that. And so the dimension of Almighty Yahweh is not according to the equations of the flesh. Is greater than that. Much greater. Hallelujah, Yahweh. It's much greater than that. It has a greater value than that.